All right, awesome. I was downstairs taking care of some things and was able to hear all the praise and worship going on up here. It's an awesome thing to hear a whole bunch of people gathered together lifting up one name. We all come in with our own stuff that in our own hearts and minds is important to our worlds. It's normal. That's human. It's part of life. But when we lay that aside for a minute and you get a couple hundred people that all just focus on one name, on one King, on one God, on one Father, then all of a sudden you find there's a strength in that. I hope you feel strength when you join together, not just in praise and worship, but how about in prayer? Prayer is a powerful way that we, you know, I was just listening to Pastor Chris pray right now. I'm thinking, you know, he's just talking in front of you guys, but he's talking to God. He's praying to the Father about what he's expecting for our lives and for our money and for where we're going and what we're doing. And I just think that sometimes we don't realize just how crazy that is to someone that doesn't believe in a spiritual being, that's maybe totally disconnected from faith and anything beyond what they can see, touch, taste, and feel. It's kind of weird, but when you have faith and you know that your words aren't just being bounced off of these walls and then bouncing back to your own ears, but heaven, spiritual beings, a cloud of witnesses, that there are people that have gone before, that God himself, the angels, the supernatural realm hears the words that we speak. Words are very amazing things because they transcend just natural. We hear them with natural ears, but they have an eternal, invisible impact on a world that we don't see, but our words have the ability to go through. That's what prayer is. That's what worship is. God inhabits the praises of his people. Why? He hears them and he responds to them. His spirit is alive in those of us who believe. And when we pour him out and we pour out the truth that he gives us to share, it changes the atmosphere. I hope you feel stronger now than you did when you came. And if you don't, then I just pray that God will help melt down whatever the barriers are that are keeping you from feeling his presence and being able to respond to it, because it's important. We have to be a people that don't just live based on what we see on primetime TV and on the major news sources. We have to live our lives based on what we hear in Scripture and what we hear the Heavenly Father saying about our lives. And we can only do that with having spiritual ears of faith to know and believe that there's a Father who loves us, that cares about us, and is listening to the prayers of the righteous. The Bible is crystal clear. His ears are open. They're attentive. They are listening to the prayers of the righteous. And your righteousness is not because you did everything right. It's because Jesus did everything right. And it's because he went and was treated like he had done everything wrong by men so that we could be justified, so that his goodness could become ours. Even though we deserved his punishment, he took it for us. And now he not only took it, but he gives us his goodness as an inheritance for those who would believe and have faith. And is that okay this morning? Can you get excited about that? Is that all right to think that he is that good? Recognize sometimes I have to use words to get myself to a place of faith. And I pray that you all learn how to do that for yourselves, that whether it's getting in your car, whether it's going on your knees and closing your bedroom door, that you can allow words of truth that you know to be true to lift your spirit above the realms of your soul and of your flesh. Your body's got a big voice. My body has a big voice. My back this week had a big voice because I was working too hard and probably my belt was too tight and too many tools hanging off of it. And my back had a big voice this week whenever I would try to get out of my bed. It was saying something to the rest of my body. And it was saying it loudly, and it does it to you too. And your soul has a voice. When you see tragedy, when you experience loss, when you experience great success and something goes excellent, not just the negative, but your soul has a voice. It's all around us. We're hearing things subconsciously, and it's all going to a place, and we have to learn how to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father who speaks from a place of spirit, but the spirit communicates with our spirit and tells us that we are children of the one who sent Jesus to be able to have a relationship with us by cleansing us from sin, by cleansing us from our own attempts to be right, and just simply by faith embracing the fact that he did it right. But he got treated wrong so that I could do things wrong and still be treated right based on one person's heart, one person's love for me, and that's my Heavenly Father. And I'm just thankful this morning for him. I'm thankful I can talk to him. And speaking of prayer, I just want to invite Christine Williams for a moment to share with us a little bit of what is happening in her life right now, specifically because it relates to prayer, which is something that we all, I think, have to come to a new level and appreciation and start exercising it more because it's powerful.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I run the children's ministry here at King's Fire, but I'm also an assistant principal in a public school in Orange County, and something amazing and wonderful happened this week. On Tuesday afternoon, after the building was closed, the principal and I and about eight other people from a local church down there entered the building, the public school building in Orange County, New York, and we prayed. We prayed in a circle in the gym. We prayed for the children. (Laughter) Yeah. We prayed for the teachers. We prayed for the janitors. We prayed for the bus drivers. We prayed for the families that walk through our doors each and every day. We prayed for the words that we speak into the children. A lot of people misunderstand separation of church and state. They think you're not allowed to have God in school. That's wrong. That is wrong. What it means is that our government can't tell us what church to go to or not go to. You all are in here because you believe in God. We need to take God where he belongs. He belongs in our schools. He belongs with our children. And he's already in there. There are a lot of Christian children, a lot of Christian teachers in schools today. They're praying each and every day for each and every child in our school. I am here to encourage you. Go into the schools. Ask your child's teacher, can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you about? I'm going to pray for you all year long. I'm going to pray for the students in your class. You need to do that. You need to encourage your children to pray for their friends. You need to just open the doors. God is already there. He just needs to work through us. We need to shine his light into these dark places. It is going to be well received because it's already happening. It's been happening, and it needs to rehappen. Yeah. And that's all I wanted to say to you guys today and encourage you. Thank you.
It's awesome stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes things seem like it's just too simple, like we're so used to having these big, amazing plans of how we're going to fix everything, and then when someone just realizes, well, how about we start by going in the gym and praying for everybody in the school, it's like, well, what's that really going to do? It's only because you don't have faith that your prayers are being heard by a person who actually spoke and the universe was here, who actually crafted things, who actually formed us out of dust and breathed into Adam, the first man, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We've inherited this all the way down from him. And here we sit all these thousands of years later in a culture, in a day when it's supposed to be about how much we can eliminate God and eliminate higher power and eliminate the strength of a spiritual realm from our lives. Like, that's going to be the proof of real strength. Like, if we could just do that, then we can prove we're tough enough, we're strong enough, we got this, we can do it on our own. Like, that's going to be the real sign of that civilization has really ascended to the place it was really supposed to be. That man, ultimately, is the highest form of wisdom and understanding and action. And come on, has that really worked? I mentioned some statistics at the first service. I won't bore you with all the details, but approximately 1 in 300 people in America are doctors, which I think is pretty cool. Some parts of the world it's better than that. Some places it's not that great. But the fact is, 1 in 51, 1 in 51, 1 in 300 is a doctor. 1 in 51 has previously been incarcerated and is now on parole or probation from a federal or a county jail. Federal prison or county jail. So how's our wisdom really working out? How is that really something that we can be proud of as a country when we say, well, we can get about 1 in 300 that are willing to do what it takes to help other people, but, and that's just the ones that are already out. There's still like 1 in 100 that are still locked up. If you put those numbers together, it's pretty staggering how many people are in a place of needing someone else to control their life for them. That's what prison is. Prison is, okay, you couldn't control yourself, and so you're banging around hurting people, driving in certain conditions you shouldn't be. You need to be protected, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of people around you. So you can't exercise self-control, which, by the way, is something the Holy Spirit gives us. People are afraid of the Holy Spirit and his working in their life, but the Holy Spirit, one of his fruits is self-control, the ability to self-govern. You understand that this doesn't work unless the people that belong, that are the individual citizens of a nation, the founding fathers recognized, and they wrote extreme volumes about this only works. The idea that a people can have a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people, it only works for a people of faith. Not in themselves, but faith in God. They called him different things, higher powers. But the fact is, there's something that's understood in their wisdom, that the world looks at our Constitution and they say, wow, amazing, a democracy has never stood for this much time in the face of a planet so bent on destroying it. It's actually gone contagious and it's actually spread a bit, this idea of self-government. But it don't work if the people who are a part of it cannot govern themselves individually. Amen. And as I look at the culture that's unraveling around us, one of the common threads is that we're bent on controlling things, but we won't exercise the control we've been given by God to exercise. When we exercise self-control first, we find out that the whole society begins to function a lot better. But if it's all about when the driver in front of me starts exercising his self-control and my life stinks until he gets his right. My wife hates when I say that. Sorry, hon. Thankfully, she's leading worship in the Sunday school program today. So hopefully she didn't hear that. But we're distracted. We're kidding ourselves. You think life's going to get better when we have a new political leader? You think it's going to get better when you get a new spouse? You think it's going to get better when you disown your family and go create your own new family somewhere? You really think life's going to get better when the people around you change? Life changes when you change. Everything I thought was wrong with everyone around me was actually me that needed God to touch so that I could be a godly influence into their lives. Light dispels darkness. There's no dark switch at the back of the room. There's just a light switch. There's no black one and a white one, depending on which way you want it. Think about it for a minute. Darkness is a non-entity, simply the absence of the positive energy of light. And we can complain about the darkness and complain about how everybody else is getting it wrong and how all this stuff is happening to us and our environment is this and our environment is that. But the fact is, you've been put in the environment you're in so that you can change the environment. Jesus didn't come to earth to surrender himself to the environment of earth. He took on a body, but even in the body, he conquered death in the grave. Jesus is a conqueror. He's victorious. He's a winner. He's everything that we've ever aspired to be, and he lives within us by his Holy Spirit. Bible's amazing. It's full of such powerful scriptures. You know what? Noah, is he just up there? Just saw him up here. Can you play that video? I'm going to play a video real quick, and then I'll... Funny, right? Pretty funny, right? Xavier, we have Xavier and Cody Davis are now in India, which I don't know. This sounds a lot like India, right? Maybe not enough horns, and maybe there's even could have been some more horns. Maybe it's a remote part, but yeah, in India, cows, goats, chickens, whatever, they're on the sidewalks, and that's a city. That's not like out in the middle. That's like a city, and you know, they get fair access to where they need to go, the same as a car or a bike or anybody else does, and that's a common scene, something like that in India. And the constant honking, I missed that sound and had to tell Xavier I was a little jealous I didn't get to go this time. It's been a little more than a year since we've been there last. And but he's over there now just ministering the gospel, believing for new connections and just strengthen connections that we've already got. And it's a great opportunity. We miss him and just thank God for all that those guys are doing. And the reality is, as I was going to play that video last week to talk about a different story I was mentioning, which is David and Goliath. I think we all see that video. Is there something in you that's like, that David and Goliath thing kicks in? Like, there's this big giant, and I'm not going to give up until... All right, well, that's one way to get it, and you're fine for having that, but I'm going to actually take it to a different, put a spin on it, and talk about it in a different way, because I think as Christians, as Christine was just sharing, it just triggers something in me when I realize that we've been so naive as to believe the rhetoric that the idea of church separation of church and state was to keep God from being allowed into government and into schools, where the founding fathers said, if you eliminate him, it can't work. And you read their documents and you read what they wrote, and even guys like Ben Franklin wrote this stuff, and he wasn't even what we would call a spirit-filled, born-again believer. He just knew there was a higher power, and he was okay with that. But even guys, he would be considered one of the more secular of the founding fathers in his thinking and his philosophy. And even he says the same thing, that you can't have it without the ability of a person to self-control, and they can't do that with the help of God. And you begin to wonder, is everything coming unraveled because we've just elevated ourselves into a place of thinking that we've got this, just keep everybody out, keep God out of the picture, and we're going to take this on in our own human strength. And my challenge is that we can't do it in our own strength. If we were going to do it in our own strength, we would have done it by now. We would have figured it out, but we have enough technology, we have enough gadgets, we have enough know-how, we can go to the moon and come back, we can do all these things, we can see so far out in space. If we were going to really be able to self-help the way that we're supposed to be able to self-help ourselves these days, we would have figured it out. It's not about self-help, it's about self-control that comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And when you realize the power that you are afforded, when you recognize that the same power, like we read last week, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in you, then all of a sudden you begin to exercise and work your life in a way that's very different than just kind of wandering around feeling like there's something to hide because you're a believer and you wouldn't want your children to be pinpointed in school and picked out because they have faith. No, you have to bring God into school. No wonder it's so dark that we've bought a lie that said that we're supposed to keep that out of that place, that we're supposed to keep him out of offices in government. They still pray before meetings. I mean, come on, a general person thinks, oh, no, you can't pray in a government. Of course you can. They open all the sessions in the House and in the Congress with prayer. This is something that everybody else seems to know, but the masses have been told that keep your beliefs to yourself. Keep your faith to yourself. Don't go walk in a gymnasium and pray in the name of a God that not everybody here might believe in. Rubbish. Go in and pray. Go in and lift his name up. It's just like in the Old Testament. We'll see whose God is real by the power that's unleashed, by the change, the meaningful change that comes in people's hearts. Separation of church and state had to do with the government can never decide what church everybody in that nation has to go to. Because France had a religion that in that day and age, in the 1600s and the 1700s, that everybody had to belong to that church. England had a Church of England. Spain had the Catholic Church. There was every nation had a state religion. And everyone had to only go to those places. And they said, listen, in this country, there's going to be freedom for people to choose. The state shall in no way infringe on a person's ability to decide what God they want to serve and how they want to serve him, provided it doesn't cross over and it injures somebody else that's next to them. It's an amazing thing, the things that we settle for, because in our minds somehow we're weakened, we're less than who we truly are. And I just want to read, I think I read this scripture last week, we're going to read it again in 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, do you not know? Paul's reminding them because they're having a hard time. There's a lot of bickering and stuff going on in Corinthians, and he's like, you guys are acting like mere men. He actually says that phrase in one of the verses. He's like, you guys are acting like mere men. Like, you don't know, you've been born of a heavenly father now. You have a new father. You've been rebirthed by a heavenly dad that didn't make all the mistakes that your natural dad might have made, and he didn't abandon you maybe the way that your natural dad did. This father gets it right, and he's birthed you of a new seed, and therefore, you've now become, he says, do you not know you're the temple of God? The Spirit of God lives in you. He dwells in you. He doesn't just come and go on a Sunday morning. He resides in people now. God has cleansed the vessel of our bodies that was once laden with sin and condemnation and everything broken. He's cleansed us out so that he could come and live in us. So that the fruit of our life could be a spiritual fruit that has long suffering and patience and gentleness, kindness, meekness, all the things, the love, the self-control, self-government is supposed to be operating in our lives by the Spirit. Not by your own self-help and your own reading and your own reciting things to try to help you be a better person, but by God's power unleashed through you by your faith. Or not unleashed through you by your lack of faith. And usually when that second thing happens, we blame somebody next to us because we're not in faith about the thing we can control. We're blaming someone or some big bully that's trying to push us off of a sidewalk because in our minds we're broken. Let me say something about the video, and I'm really sorry because a lot of you guys are just so excited about little Billy there and all that he was able to do against the big bully, Billy and Bully. I guess that's a good, maybe you can call the sermon that Billy and Bully. Willy Bully. Who wants to sing? No, don't sing it. Because when I read a scripture like this, when I read a scripture like it says in Romans 8, chapter 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. That means the bodies we have now. That these bodies are eligible to be touched by the life of God. That the mortality of my flesh can experience the Spirit. The same one that raised Jesus from the dead by the same Spirit living within me. That brings me to a place of wanting to just shout and scream and just to help my own faith believe it. And sometimes we have to do that. When I stand up here preaching, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself and you're getting the benefit of the fact that you're in the same room as me. I get in my car and I preach this stuff to myself. You have to. You think it's going to be okay to just come next week and hear an encouragement word from the Scripture? No. You got to hear yourself say it. You got to say, although my soul has a big mouth right now and my body is telling me this and I'm tired, I should just stay in bed. And you're here at church, so you already beat some of the voices. I guarantee if I asked for a show of hands, how many people considered not coming today? Probably more than half of you would raise your hands. At least the thought crossed my mind, I might not go today. Even though you've come probably 20 times in a row or something, that thought is always going to be there. Why? Because there's power when we come together. There's power when the proclamation goes forth that you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You're not just some chopped up, rejected, hoping to squeak into heaven by some clever little joke you're going to tell Peter or something at the gate that's going to distract him long enough for you to just sweep behind him. I mean, people have elevated their humanity and their own intellect so far beyond that they don't realize you're competing with God and he has a standard that doesn't change. And in the same breath, they don't realize who you've truly been created to be now that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. At least the potential has been put in you to invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, to empower you, to produce his fruit in this world. no matter how dark it gets. And when I see a video like that, I think, yeah, man, I had put it in my notes when I was talking about David and Goliath, thinking that would be a cool way to show this whole thing. You know, it was nothing like that. David walked in there with a sling, a strap of leather, and a rock, and he plunged it into the giant's forehead. He fell down. He took the sword from the giant because he didn't have his own, and he chopped off his head like a piece of firewood. That's not the Sunday school version. That's hopefully the kids are downstairs. Even though David was little and the giant was big, he wasn't just pushing the bull until he decided to wander down a different sidewalk. But more than that, the fact that we would even initially, most of us, identify with this little tiny goat against this several thousand pound big bull is a reflection of where we've come from in the natural birth that we received from our parents. That we're seed of Adam first. And then we're born of a supernatural seed that causes us to see things that the natural seed doesn't see. The natural you, the old you, the one before faith, the one before knowing there's a God who hears my prayer. There's a spirit that now has been made available to live in me. If I will choose to walk by faith, he'll guard every step. Before that moment, you lived according to what you could see naturally only. And all of a sudden, we don't realize that when we've been born again, you are not this little goat pestering the big lion or the big bull that's just wandering around bullying people off of his sidewalk. We're the bull. Yeah. We're the ones who the same spirit that raised Christ. Dude, did Jesus ever walk up to some demon and say, well, listen, if you guys are ready, I'm about to just move you out. So just get ready because it's coming. No, he said, if I've cast out demons with the finger of God, that means the kingdom of heaven has come among you. Get out of my way. Light is here. Darkness has to go. There's no negotiation. The darkness doesn't fight every time I flip the lights on. It's just gone. Light triumphs over darkness. We complicate things and make them more complicated than they ever were supposed to be. Just go out and shine. Let the life that's within you out. Let the words of truth that are in you come out. When you're not sure what to say, say something positive. Say something good. Say something encouraging. Say something full of faith. You're going to be shocked at how much your environment begins to change. We are slaves of our environment. It's been preached in schools for so long. If we could just change the environment, all of a sudden, all of our woes would go away. And meanwhile, the climate of the human heart has gone colder and colder and more darkened and more miserable and more lonely and more purposeless. And people are wandering around like modern-day zombies, just wondering, is there a reason to even pick up the keys and get in the car and go to work tomorrow? Or is this the day where I should just throw in the towel? And we need antidepressants to try to wake up and feel good. And then we need tranquilizers to go to sleep. And then we need whatever in the morning to try to figure out the rest of it. I don't mean to knock anybody if that's what you're on. I don't mean to put you down. It's not about that. I'm here to say there's a rescue raft in front of you. Get in it. His name is Jesus. And when you connect with him, he will deliver you. People are more than happy to feel like it's a spiritual thing to be this little whimpery goat that's just, I'm just determined. I'm going to get this big devil out of my sidewalk. It's your sidewalk. You're the bull on it, and this little thing hits your ankle a few times. It's like, oh, now I'm limping. I can't walk anymore. I'm distracted. My brother thinks this about me, or my children are saying this about me. And all of a sudden, this little agitation hitting us in the shins has no potential to push us off the sidewalk. But guess what? You see when that cow's walking all over the rocks, walking all over. Why? Because of a little ridiculous animal. That one kick, the thing would have gone more than just a few feet down the sidewalk. I'm sorry. You love the goat. I know. I'm assaulting the hero of the story. I'm sorry. Billy was tough. He was. Next week I'll preach about David and Goliath, and then he can be the hero again. Sorry. But guess what? In the spirit, it's actually what I'm saying is 100% correct. In the spirit, we are far more than conquerors. We don't show up to see if we win. We show up because we already won. Amen. Because our champion has gone before us. He's conquered death. He's conquered the grave. And he came out with the keys. So that even if someone was delusional enough to go there, he has the keys to unlock it anyway. And how many people are in our lives that we know they're bound by darkness and they're bound? We have been given keys. It says the keys have been given to the church so that the gates of hell won't prevail against her. Amen. Words are powerful, folks. We have the potential to change things about the life that's within us. The way we respond to people, it's within your power by the Holy Spirit's help to change. Don't ever say, I just can't change that part of me. Yes, you can. It's your confession that's broken, that's keeping you stuck. It's got nothing to do with the truth. That bull could have completely ignored that stupid little thing, and at one point he probably would have stepped on it by accident. Sorry, that's really graphic. Poor Billy. You see how far down that crazy cow had to put his head just to even connect with the silly thing? He's like getting a stiff neck just to be able to get down to his level. How often do we do that and not even know we're doing it? We're doing it feeling like, oh, well, I'm just fighting this fight. You don't have to. It's already been won. You got to start walking the path. Just get down to a different section of the sidewalk where that pesky little thing's going to walk back and annoy some other cow that doesn't know any better. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Why do you think they make Snickers this big now? Because no one's afraid of something little and tiny, but guess what? It'll pull you into the whole bag. Yeah. Reese's peanut butter cup the size of a quarter, that's harmless. Brings his friends with it. Yeah, they don't sell them just three or four in a package. They sell a bag of them for a reason. You know? It's little things that pull us off of where we're supposed to be going. We're going to heaven when we die. I'm going to heaven when I die. People that have died and gone before me that I miss with all my heart, they're in heaven now. You can find a way to celebrate the most painful stuff in your heart when you realize where it all ends up by faith. Or you can live under the ceiling that everybody else is living under and wonder, man, is it ever going to change? No, because the area you've been given self-control over isn't being exercised. And so it's on someone else. Hopefully they can find faith and get self-control and change the way they are behaving so that my life can improve. Talk about a vicious cycle that's never going to go anywhere. Except leave you frustrated and wondering if this Christian thing even works after all. It works when you get your eyes off of yourself and onto the prize that we read about Paul saw. That I may lay hold of everything that Christ saw in me when he laid a hold of me. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been given a power. We get so excited and we try to make more laws to just try to create an environment where we can control everything around. You know, 30,000 new laws are added to the books in the U.S. every year. That includes environmental law and everything else in between, social law, criminal law. 30,000 trying to create legislation, trying to get into a people's heart this idea that if we just had enough restrictions and regulations, then we would all be able to live on one piece of earth together and not fight and hurt and have over 1 in 40 people who are either in prison or have just been out of prison. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work just because we think it's going to work. It works when we do it the way that God says works. And his way is to love. It's to turn another cheek. It's to have a strength within you to forgive that the world doesn't know about. That they don't have access to. There's stuff that we have as believers that's so exclusive only to people filled with the Holy Spirit that it's marked as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not even my fruit. It's the Holy Spirit's fruit that gets to be produced through my body and through my life, but it's still his fruit. He doesn't say, oh, this is Josh Ortman's fruit. He just says that my attributes will be visible through you. It's still his. It's all him. It's always been all about him. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate niceness. You can wake up in the morning and decide it or reject it. Decide to be unoffendable. Try it sometime. It's awesome. Talk about freedom. To be able to forgive the way Jesus did. Do you understand God solves things with words? And sometimes we let stuff come out of our mouth that's so hurtful and painful, we don't even care about the fact of what it's going to accomplish in somebody else's heart. We just blast it out. We were going into Lowe's and some lady just tore into this car that was like 200 yards away, but going too fast, coming towards her and probably her granddaughter. Man, every word in the, I think this little girl's grown up thinking that this is how it's such a level of brokenness because people don't have the ability to just govern their tongue. They don't realize that the power of life and death is in your tongue. It's not in your actions. It's in your tongue. It's in what you say. It's in what you read. What you put in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. What you truly believe is what comes out when you're squeezed. And people forget that God solved the world's problems. We're not forgiven because Jesus just hung on a cross and bled out. We're forgiven by the words he said at the end. He could have gotten to the end of all that bleeding and all that misery, and just before he died, he could have said, you know, God, they got to pay for this. I'm sorry. I know we're this close, but they got to pay for this. This is not right. You do not treat God this way. You don't treat my dad like this. You don't treat me like this. I'm the son of a king. Father, this thing would have been nuked. You talk about hydrogen bombs are nuclear? Forget about it. You don't know anything about nuclear power. He says, let there be light, and not just the sun. We see the sun. Now we can see that there's billions of galaxies of suns, of billions of suns. It's just endless. The power that's in our God, and we somehow allow this little chunk of gray matter to elevate itself up to a point of thinking we're going to fix ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Scripture that has access to actually produce change. Everybody wants to change, but they think it's going to come from somebody else. I'm telling you, if you want to see change in your life, let the Holy Spirit transform you by His Spirit and by His strength, and you're going to see a change. And it won't be temporary. And it won't be fickle. It won't depend on what time of the month it is. It won't depend on what season. Oh, I don't like winter. I'm miserable in the winter. I always get depressed in January. No, forget all that rubbish that you were raised in with this gray matter that figured it out. And realize that with the Holy Spirit inside you, you set the climate. You are the climate control. If you don't like your job, change it. If you don't have the faith to change it there, and maybe God's directing you somewhere, change the job. But don't complain about it. You have the gift of self-government. This isn't a communist country where they make you go to work, where they decide you have to go, because this is what you tested into. Well, actually, a lot of the world does it. Yeah. This is what you passed into. This is where you get to work for the rest of you. They'll set it for you. We have freedom here. But people will stay in a broken place, in a painful, abusive place, and then they'll dare to complain about it. It's only fear that can keep you there. Stop being afraid. Let courage happen in your heart and take a move. Make a move. Make something happen. Change. He's given you the power to do it. It's not Josh Ortman's encouragement. The Holy Spirit's fruit is self-control, self-government. Self-discipline is another way. I love my wife. She's small, but man, she's putting a hurting on some ladies that are going to Mac in the morning with her to where they're trying to come to me and get for rescuing. You're like, you talk to your wife. She's killing us at the gym. She's killing us. Well, this week she got some of her own medicine. She actually had to like pull her up into the RV just on the steps because she was so sore the day after a little workout. And I just thank God for spiritual toughness, for a people that would be willing to go out and spiritually exercise what they've been given, to not think it's just going to fall into their lap when everything around my environment changes. The environment's, listen, one of the big things, right, is environment change, changing the environment, how we can control that. Listen, we weren't here 12,000 years ago. The Industrial Revolution wasn't here. This planet was covered in ice. It was the end of the Pleistocene, one of the ice ages. It started like 2 million years ago and came to about 12,000 years ago. The Earth as we know it has only just happened like this. It's only just warmed up enough for this to happen. God in His orchestration has allowed for there to be a season on planet Earth where we would truly be able to unite a humanity, that the gospel could go to the ends of the earth so that the new thing could come, so that He could wrap it up. It says when the gospel has been preached to every tribe, nation, and tongue, He's coming back. And the only thing holding Him up is that the message has not been proclaimed yet. And when you realize that and you begin to celebrate that, you begin to allow a faith to come into your heart that doesn't allow itself to be ruled by a stupid little goat on a sidewalk that's just yelling at you and saying, hey, is it really worth it? Your feet hurt. Why don't you sit down here? Why don't you come down to my level so I can hit you in the head a few times and discourage you and make you go in the opposite direction you're trying to go? If you submit to that level, that's your experience. And that'll be the God that you thought was going to be so strong and mighty, and yet here I am. Why? Because you put your head down and you listen to this little ridiculous annoyance. I'm not worried about the guys. It's the girls that are worried about offending Billy too much. I'm getting some girls like, don't hurt that little goat. He's good. He's my hero. Go home. Rewatch the video. Redeem it. Some people are in a position in your life where you're so convinced that you are the goat and there's this big giant that you almost do need a Davidic revelation that doesn't matter how big my obstacle is, I still win in the end. And don't hear what I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking anybody for whichever way you want to watch the video. It's YouTube. You can do it any way you want. But I want you to be encouraged. I want you to realize that within you, the Bible says greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Some people are more aware of the devil's schemes, the devil's plans, the devil's bondages, the devil's things that he has in place, the prince and power of the air and all his stuff that he's got, than they are that the fact that one word spoken in power and faith changes everything.
They forget that all it takes is to speak to a mountain and it moves. You don't have to climb it, lasso it, do a bunch of stuff to it, pour oil on it, and then he says, if any man has faith and doesn't doubt, he'll say to a mountain, go jump in the sea, and a mountain's going to go. They know how big you are. It's about the faith that's in your heart. It's about, is there a vision in your heart that propels you forward? Is there something in front of you see that inspires you, that makes you excited, that makes you feel full of fire? Because it's more than a wish list. Remember we talked about a wish list last week? We give kids in high school a wish list. We prompt it out of them. What do you want to do? You're just asking them, what do they wish life could be like? If there were no obstacles, what would your life be like? And they create a wish list. The kind of cars they want, the kind of house they have, the kind of wife they'd have, the kind of kids they'd have. Maybe at that point, they're not even thinking that in that direction. What kind of retirement they would have, where they would want to go, where their dream house would be built. It's not a vision. It's a wish list. If that's all you have, you will be so annoyed by everything that comes at you. Your soul will be so fragmented. You'll be moving on the outside, but inside you'll be dead. You wonder why people hit 63, they retire and they die. It's because there's no vision. There's just this wish list that now they checked everything off and there's nothing left that compels them forward. You've got to have something in you that drags you into the future, because you have to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of you. And when that's where you're coming from, you won't give up and you will press on and you will forget everything that's behind you because of what's in front of you. This world has nothing in front of them except the 5 o'clock news or 6 o'clock, whatever time they show the ridiculous stuff. That's all they have. What about the good news of Jesus Christ? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sets men free. It breaks depression off of people's hearts. It breaks addiction off of their minds and their souls and their bodies. It causes organs that need to be healed to be touched and to be functioning the way they're supposed to be. The power of the gospel is not some weak, wimpy thing that hopes the bull's going to get out of his way. It pushes everything out of its way. I'm here this morning to challenge you to change your view. Stop looking at it the same way. Change your altitude. When your altitude changes, your attitude changes. I've never been in an airplane and felt like, man, this is just really, I mean, maybe after 20 some hours on the way to Africa or something. Let me be honest now. But when the sun's up and you can look out and you can feel like you're up here and Earth's down there, there's just this sense of invincibility. Yeah, you're flying on a piece of metal that, yeah, so you're not invincible, but that sense of being above it, of being elevated, of being in a place of accurately being, oh, that's the state that my house is in that I'm worried about losing, that's in a tiny little thing that's so small a piece of dust wouldn't even allow me to see on a scale of what I'm looking at. The minusculeness of it. That the cares of this life are that small from the view that God has established for me. He says that I can be seated with Christ in heavenly places and make my decisions from there. Folks, we can all do that. You can all rise up and speak to yourself, read the book, speak it out loud, read it out loud, pray it out loud, confess over yourself what you are going to do and not what you feel like you can't do, and allow things to change. Allow the Holy Spirit. Give Him something to work with. But you have to change your view. You have to change your altitude. When your altitude changes, your attitude changes immediately. Altitude affects your attitude. Why do you think everybody's trying to get high? Why is it called that? Because it's a fake, synthetic, addictive substitute for what we're all supposed to do. We're supposed to soar like eagles. This road that leads to Christ is owned by His blood alone. And nothing that comes and tries to knock my ankles out is going to succeed, because He has given me the strength to walk it. He's the one that called me to walk this path. He's the one that called you to be in church this morning, not me. You desired to be here. There was a voice calling you, and here you are. Don't be dissuaded. Don't watch one bad report and wonder if it's all really worth it. One pastor somewhere on God's green planet messes up and now all of a sudden the church is to blame for everything. The church is what you make of it. The church is the body of Christ. It's just Him. Your relationships, your connections, your fabrics, your linking in with the body is what you make of it. We have amazing life groups. We have amazing groups that come and meet and get people connected to one another. Because together, I'm telling you, the sidewalk belongs to us. The hill up on the thing where we're building for generations to come, it belongs to us.
God's got ideas of what that will be. I don't even know them all yet. I don't need to. Maybe my kids need to figure out what it is. Maybe the spiritual sons and daughters of this house will find out what the vision is for that place. But the fact is, this area needs to change because we're not subject to the environment here, folks. People want to change the environment by changing the O2 sensors and the mufflers on their cars. You're not going to change it that way because we weren't here 12,000 years ago and made all the global warming happen. So don't convince me we're that powerful now. It's a power trip. It's an ego trip. And it's sold in the name of trying to save a planet that's just helplessly melting away. And it's a farce. It's a joke. It doesn't have any science to back it. I'm a scientist. I studied in a secular school. I've gone back and read everything you can read. It's a joke to get money out of people's pockets to keep them controlled and to make them think they have the power to change this thing flying through space at 30,000 miles an hour, whatever it is. Year after year after year, tilting just the right way so we have seas and spinning at just the right rate as it's happening, with a moon to perfectly balance it and give us tides. And a muffler on our car is going to cause the whole thing to blow up. Trust me, we're not that significant. It's a head trip. It's an ego trip. We should humble ourselves before God and say, God, I humbly pray, please change the way that people are being misled in the name of a better tomorrow. I'm all for protecting this planet. I'm not for, I hate when people litter. I don't litter. I don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying don't get on a head trip and think that your muffler on your car. You ever seen a volcano go off? You ever know how many there are on planet Earth? And if a dozen of them touched off at once, do you know what's going to happen? Way more than your sooty muffler on your car. It won't pass inspection because there's a little light on your dashboard. It's a head trip. It's an ego trip to make man feel like we are truly the lords of our domain. You don't own this planet. Stuff happens like in Italy and the thing shakes a little bit and a whole city is wrecked. People forget these things. They forget that we're just on a rented planet that belongs to someone else, and we better steward it for all that we're worth. But you better not get on an ego trip and think that your little making sure that your bottle goes in the right container, that somehow that, do it, I do it, but don't think that somehow that means you've got more power than you think you do. This is God's place. This is God's time. This is God's body. God's church is his bride. It's not Josh Ortman. It's not King's Fire Church. It's Jesus Christ's bride. We are it. There's no plan B. He's not sending another batch of people. It's us, and it's the people that we bring in together. Let's stand together so I don't just talk all afternoon.